Good day, everybody. This is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio, and congratulations to all of you for making us a 50,000-plus download podcast. We certainly appreciate it. That's an exciting milestone. We look forward to being around for another 50,000 downloads. In this episode, episode 279, we catch up with Deanne DeVille. Deanne is a nutritionist. She's a best-selling author. She's a healthy lifestyle coach and educator. And in this episode, we catch up with her on Total Wellness Radio. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Total Wellness Radio. So excited to have this young lady on the line with me, Deanne DeVille. She has written a book, Women of Influence. She has amazingly described not only herself and her journey with some amazing health experiences, but also has captured the stories of several others. What an, a great read. I'm just getting started in it, but I'm so grateful that she has agreed to be on Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. And I greatly appreciate the work that you've done and continue to do. It's just so important, especially today, right?
Yeah, there's such a need for what we have to offer. And for most people listening to Total Wellness Radio, we started this program about 3 years ago to gain more traction for people like you and people like me to share our stories, to come together, to be a influence in the lives of others, help them get results and see that there's hope, that there's opportunities for greater health improvements. And boy, does your book capture it. We got a lot to cover today.
Well, and just to clarify, it's not my book per se that I was not the catalyst of bringing all these authors together. That was the publisher.
Yes.
And I am one of the 30 stories.
Yes.
And there's some amazing stories in that book for sure.
Yeah. Well, you all did a wonderful job. You've made a great service to men and women everywhere in terms of capturing your stories and the openness, the honesty, the transparency is to be applauded. So thank you for being a part of such a wonderful project.
Thank you.
You know,
it was good. It was a great honor. Good experience.
Yeah, I'll bet. One of the things I always like to focus on when we kind of get started with our segment here is to let you take as much time as you'd like, Deanne, and kind of share your experience and what got you involved in or on this path to natural health. What was kind of the catalyst? Some of the things that you experienced, which I know will give a lot of our listeners some hope and answer some questions for them, but if you could share that with our listeners, that'd be a great place to start.
Okay. Well, you said I can take as much time as I like. Wow. I can go on.
I understand.
But I will try to make... That's a big topic, right?
Sure.
But like most people in the natural health industry, we got into it for a certain reason. And I was heavily influenced by my mother, who always believed in the power of... you know, vitamins and supplements and nutrition, et cetera. When I was young, she interviewed Linus Pauling a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been, you know, kind of immersed in this, if you will. But then, you know, when I, in my 20s, I kind of veered off on my own path and was part of the standard American, you know, whether it was not totally the standard American diet, but much more though, that lifestyle. And then when I was 30, I had my first child, and when she was only like 5 years old, and she was getting these chronic recurring ear infections. And, you know, the pediatrician says, oh, it's so common. It's so normal. She just needs tubes.
Oh, no.
And I thought, you know, somehow that just doesn't feel right. For all of these years and how many years of humans walked the planet, that we've managed to get along without tubes up until the last couple of decades. And so he was very certain that she would lose her hearing or have permanent damage if I didn't do this.
Oh, wow.
And so I started looking into it, you know, and they put that fear into you. And that's,
yes.
You know, that comes back later with my cancer diagnosis. They put this fear in you. And that's one of the things that I do want to instill in people is the power that we do have.
Mm.
But back to my daughter, that's when I started diving in, and I really learned the connection between gut health and her diet and sinuses. Yes. And so she did a whole candida thing. We went gluten-free, and that's just started me on this path.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter's in her 20s now. That was a while ago.
Yes.
And, you know, and she's doing great. She never had the surgery. She doesn't have ear damage. In fact, she's an advanced pad-eye diver, and she's, you know, been diving in Madagascar to significant depths that she would never have been able to had they, you know, had what they said come true.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up, because I speak with a lot of clients over the years, and I remember growing up, going through school, there was two things that we never saw in our school. One was children with tubes in their ears, and the other was this notion that they needed to be on Ritalin or Wellbutrin or something because their behaviors were off, right? That the ADD, ADHD kind of situations and behavioral situations was not something that I saw growing up and all through my high school years, for sure. So it's interesting that you have a history with that.
Right. And it is interesting, of course, how things have changed, not just, of course, with the pharmaceuticals that have come to market, but our diet in general and how things are grown and how we produce food and prepare it in our homes. Mm-hmm. It's so different today.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't think much about it.
Yeah, that's true. It's.
I mean, you and I do.
Yeah, that's right.
We as a society.
Yeah, you know, it's. I feel so very fortunate and blessed to have been, you know, raised and have the experiences that I had at a young age, watching my grandparents with their health and some of the things there that really put our family on that path. You know, and such a gratifying path to be on today. What do you find? With your experience today, what do you find to be some of the most gratifying or rewarding experiences that you get to participate in today?
Really, it's about the transformation of people, because we are led to believe that we're powerless, that we don't know anything about our body, and that there might be something unseen that can harm us, and we should be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is the biggest thing. And the same, I mean, this is how it came to be with cancer with me too, is that, you know, this fear was instilled, and it's like, you can't see it, but it's going to kill you.
Mm.
And the fear that's instilled is paralyzing.
Yes. Yes. It
and
is.
So really the biggest thing that I love to see in people is the trends. It's a transformation. It's a realization. It's like, you know what? We don't, I mean, science is great. We've uncovered a lot. We've learned so much. Mm-hmm. But there's so much that we don't know.
Yes.
And the power of our body is amazing.
Yes.
And when you can believe in that and harness it and give it what it needs to heal itself, it's just remarkable. But it starts as a mindset. Do you believe it? You know, what Ford said years ago, whether you believe you can or cannot, it's true.
Yes.
And that's absolutely true with the human body, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely accurate. You know, it's been an amazing journey, and I know that you and I both have had our challenges. What do you find, what do you think is the most challenging aspect of you know, being a nutritionist, of coaching with people, of being a best-selling author? What do you find to be the biggest challenge working with people?
It's really that belief, because people are so entrenched in the dogma that they don't know anything and they must go to an expert who does.
Yeah.
And they put entire faith in a person and the education they've received. But they call it a practice for a reason, because it is an unfolding practice, and we're all learning, not just, you know, you and I in our practice, but medical doctors. It is still a practice.
Mm-hmm.
So really it's about that dogma of people really believing, and it's just a mindset shift, but it is hard to overcome for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes the right educational experiences to position people. And one of the things I'm sure that you'll have some experience with as well is that when you're working with people, it seems that by the time they find the motivation or the willingness to try something new or different and come to someone like you or me and embrace a different approach with better education, they've got to be put through the ringer pretty good. I mean, they've seen, you know, in my case, I've seen a lot of folks that have, you know, 3 to 5 different professionals, Mayo Clinic. They've been around to a lot of different, you know, practitioners or doctors that said that they could, you know, help them. And it turns out that they just got sicker and sicker and sicker. And they finally, really out of desperation, not inspiration, they come and find someone like me and they're willing to embrace, like I say, a much better approach, a much more advanced approach to care with a better education model than what modern medicine has ever been able to offer them. And it turns on some light bulbs for them.
But until then, and it's about nourishing, right?
Yes.
But the challenge for that, of course, you well know, is that by the time you see clients, if they had come to you years earlier, you would not have the same challenges to overcome. They wouldn't have the same challenges to overcome.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part, is because, you know, this type of way of living has been viewed upon as alternative, right? It's been labeled as such.
Yes, I know. And that just makes no sense. We've got 6,000 years of, you know, modern medicine didn't really start gaining prominence until after the Flexner Report of 1910. So that's, 110 years ago. And you and I refer to traditional and historical, clinically based, science-based, familial-based, whatever you want to look at it from any angle from science, things that have been around for about 6,000 years of recorded history. And yet we're called alternative.
Exactly. So which is truly traditional and which is alternative, right?
Yeah. But
it is amazing how, you know, the power of words and the power of the repetition of those words and the culture that we formed around it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Now, do you focus on specific, I know you have different services, different educational opportunities that you offer. I'd really love for you to kind of take, again, time, share with our listeners, educate them on some of the things that you offer that they can, you know, kind of plug into and find it easily, you know, to get connected with you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's a great question. And it's really changed over the years, over time, because early on, I was strictly focused on nutritional counseling and being, you know, much more clinical. And then, you know, other things start to come into play. And then at one point, it was probably 10 years ago, I thought, you know, I need to go back to school and get a degree in psychology. Because this is where it's, you know, so it really kind of runs the gamut. So today, I'm less clinical. And for really tough clinical cases, I refer out to, you know, several colleagues of mine.
Sure. Sure.
But I will go through basics, and I'm really more about coaching, and it's that mindset. Mm-hmm. It's the transformation of where you are today and where you want to be in your health, but not just your health. It's really about all of life, because it's all tied together.
Yeah.
If we are very healthy and yet are in a job that serves us no purpose and we're stressed, well, how can you be healthy in long term?
Yeah.
So it's a complete life dynamic.
Yeah.
And this is the way that I work with, and I primarily work with women,
mm-hmm.
and primarily in an older age range of, you know, 40 to 60 kind of thing. It's not a hard set rule, but primarily because this is an age group where women are overworked, they're stressed out, they're burned out, and they feel like they've got to keep doing it. They got to keep going on their own. They got to make ends meet. And they got to do it, you know, totally alone. And, you know, look what's happening to women. Women have heart attacks and cancer at higher rates than men. And there's a reason for this. And we need to just slow down and really evaluate our values in life,
mm-hmm.
what's important, and how are we living that are either reflecting our values versus reacting to what we think we're supposed to be doing. So it's a lifestyle shift. And it, of course, includes nutrition.
Sure, sure. I would suspect, too, based on what you're touching on, that your 20 years in Silicon Valley marketing, communications, the high-paced hustle and bustle of the large corporate arena, you're speaking from a lot of past experience on how to help these women really get back on track with that transformation, helping them make that happen.
That's for sure. Years ago, when I was in my 20s, my husband and I, we bought a 36-foot sailboat, and our intent was to, we were going to circumnavigate. And we were both working very high pressure, high tech jobs, you know, working the 70, 80 hour work week kind of thing. And the one day we finally were able to, you know, toss the dock lines ashore and take off, it was a huge relief, a big stress relief. And then we were on the water for close to 2 years. So it was a long sailing sabbatical. And wow. And it was really tremendous. But, you know, that was in my 20s, and I was already feeling burned out. And I remember coming home. We were sailing from Hawaii back to the San Francisco Bay Area, and we were probably still, you know, 300 or 400 miles offshore off the west coast of San Francisco. And I remember just pleading with my husband, and I'm holding his jacket. We have the foul weather here, you know, and I'm pleading and I'm shaking, saying, "We're going the wrong way. I don't want to go back to that life."
Wow, that's such, and of what course, what a metaphor, right? Or analogy.
Right. And in fact, we both commented on that line many, many times over the years, because we realized how far we had strayed from what was important to us and our values based on what we thought we were supposed to do in this culture and how we were going to accomplish it. And so this is the way we're going to do it. And, you know, we followed that path of that American dream. And it's like, how fulfilling is that? You know, for some people it is, but the way we thought we were going about it, and we thought the promise would, how it would pan out, it did not at all. But all the way along, instead of kind of checking in and saying, you know what, let's make a massive shift, I just kept going. Because I didn't know what else to do. And therein lies the problem, right? It's really about consistent reflection on who you are, who you want to be, how you want to live your life. What's important? And are you living in that?
Yes. And eliminating those distractions that keep us from being authentic to ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Showing up who you are as opposed to who you think you're supposed to be.
That's so powerful. So important. Now, I know that you have extensive training and different coaching styles. I know that you're with, you know, both Barrett Values as well as Canfield Success Principles. Who would you like to, because I've always been a firm believer in giving credit where credit's due, and we've all had wonderful opportunities to have amazing mentors throughout our lives. Who would you like to maybe mention in today's podcast as far as having, you know, amazing influence on you? I know besides your mom and her ability, you know, her opportunity to interview Linus Pauling, but who else comes to mind, Deanne, that you want to mention?
Yeah, it's an unexpected person, really, I would think. And she's my therapist. I started seeing a psychotherapist probably 15 years ago. I was having a lot of trouble in my life, you know, being stressed out, burned out, whatever. And I was fortunate enough to find somebody here locally that dabbled in so many areas. Not only is she a psychotherapist and a grief counselor, but she taught so many women's classes that touched on a lot of things all over the map. Like I learned about, you know, crystal healing or Wiccan traditions. We went through a Tao study group where we looked at several versions of the Tao. And that was like a year-long program kind of thing. And then I went through and studied the Bhagavad Gita with her. And there's been so many different forms of ways of living and ways of looking at things that she brought to me, which is not traditional psychotherapy at all. And I met her through the psychotherapy, but I continued on with her with these other classes. And I find that I'm bringing so much of that together today, because there's so much, especially with the Tao and wholeness and the masculine and the feminine and what's possible versus what we think we know in science. And, you know, that shining the light on something. And so much of that you know, training, if you will, from those courses I took with her over the years has just really influenced the way I work today. So again, it's not what I would expect to say, because I don't see her as a therapist today, but wow, she still continues to influence me.
Well, I'll be happy one day when they take the word therapy out, which the person seeking that unfortunately already has a negative connotation or connection with the word therapy, like there's something wrong with me. And they exchange it for the word empowerment, because what happens, what can happen, like what you're describing, is that it can be one of the most empowering experiences that a person can take themselves through, yet it's still labeled as, well, you're getting therapy, or there must be something wrong with you, or you're challenged by something, you're not adult enough or mature enough to handle. And it's not, that's not it at all. That's not even,
it's the
stigma. And it's really what you're describing is actual empowerment.
Exactly. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because it is so true. There is a stigma. There is a dogma around that. And that continues on. Well, for example, if somebody has something wrong with them, a digestive issue or whatever, they go to a doctor and they don't think anything about that.
Correct.
But yet, if we're having consistent anxiety or some other, you know, thoughts that just are not helpful, why do we feel like it's a bad thing to go to somebody who can help with that? You go to specialists all the time.
Correct.
So it is interesting that it is a stigma, but it most definitely is. I hope that it's shifting today, because there is more coming out, particularly around, you know, mental health disorders in sports and professional athletes.
Yes.
And they're coming forth and saying their struggles and their vulnerabilities.
Yep.
And this is really the path that, you know, most people, and again, this is how we're raised in this culture. So it's not a conspiracy. Nobody's trying to do something intentionally. It's just that we're repeating these patterns.
Yep.
We raise our kids this way, and we want to feel normal. We don't want to feel like we're weird. We don't want to be singled out.
Yep.
And so we isolate whatever negative feelings we have, and we want to normalize everything and paint a picture for the outside world that we're all okay.
Yeah.
So that we don't stand out. And that's really what I talk about in my story in the book, The Women Who Influence, because that's what I did. I was living with a man who was absolutely the man of my dreams. He was my life partner, and I love him to this day. I think about him every day. But during the course of several years, in these stressful times and financial difficulties and all, you know, life, he started drinking more and more and more. And then it starts to affect his, you know, schizophrenia and paranoia, and lots of things are happening, you know, with that happens with alcoholism. And I refused to see it, acknowledge it, and I put out to the world that all is okay, because I didn't want to be portrayed as, like, you know, oh wow, what kind of a mom is she, or what kind of a wife is she, or, you know. And it took me a long time to realize that, you know, this is his journey.
Yeah.
And of course I play a part in it, but these are his choices and his journey. And then it was his disease once it was beyond choice.
Yeah.
And so again, coming back to the stigma around that, these are the things of life.
Yes.
And they do happen more often than, you know, than people want to talk about.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're bringing that up. And it's such a great, vulnerable topic, right? I mean, mental wellness is something that we all must pursue on a daily basis, just like spiritual wellness, physical wellness, the proper diet, movement, exercise, rest, whatever those things are that we need to be looking at. We need to look at them from the standpoint of, there's not something wrong with me why I'm pursuing them. There's something very right with me, and that's why I want to pursue them for the betterment of myself. It's just, it has nothing to do with, like, I think there's something wrong with the person. And again, I hope that, and I join with you in hoping that, you know, as time goes on, that we shift how we look at these things. If I'm pursuing wellness, it doesn't mean that I think there's something wrong with me that could hurt you. It means that there's something right with me. I want to pursue improvement. Right. There's nothing wrong with, and that can happen on any level, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological, physical. And I think that, you know, once we start talking about that in that light, and that we're all in that boat, and we all can use, you know, improvement and wellness in all these areas, that I think we'll all just be better off for it.
right? I mean, even as you say those words, I think, wow, what a world that would be.
I know, right? I mean,
to step into that sounds just relaxing, like stepping yes. into a warm bath. And it's like, oh, this is good.
So for our listeners, can you share maybe a little, you know, a sample of some of the things, you know, that have happened for you working with other folks, you know, some wins maybe that you'd be willing to share with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, that's a hard one because I don't work necessarily with the clinical. Well, I had a client who has, you know, she wanted to lose 300 pounds kind of thing. I don't have the hard, fast things.
But sure, sure.
There are so many people that have said, it's like, wow, I finally feel like I can be myself and I'm heard and I'm supported. Yes. And they don't feel threatened.
Yes.
And these are small shifts, but they're huge.
Yes.
You know, I had a 50-year-old man in tears and he says, I don't think I've ever cried ever.
Wow.
And these are important things. And I don't want people to hear this and thinking, well, I don't want to be uncomfortable, but
sure.
It's not about discomfort so much as a release in an allowance. It's a permission to be human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is really tough because in this society, again, we're led to believe that we can't make mistakes.
Yep.
You know, it's a funny thing. We know that we learn from mistakes and yet we're so reluctant to make them.
I know.
To try.
I know.
And we might fail, but we don't want to fail. So we don't even try.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you just mentioned about focusing on what's right. And that's really, to me, kind of the key. It's like focus on what's right. Focus on what's possible.
Yes.
And step into the possibility in the who knows? It's yeah. like unlimited. Let's see what happens. And let's go with what's right instead of just looking at the negative. That's like looking yeah. in the rearview mirror. We're not going that way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Failure has always been a part of progress. I mean, it's just, we can't make
exactly.
Failure has always been a part of that. So
what right. are some how many of your, times did yeah. Edison try to work
yeah.
on a light bulb?
Yeah.
Right.
Couple thousand.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what he said later? He says, I successfully identified many ways that did not work.
Right. And what an incredibly optimistic view of looking at it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 100%, 100%.
But he was steadfast on his belief that
yes.
it was possible.
Yes, the possibilities. What are your, what are some of the future possibilities for you, Deanne? Can you share some of the things coming up with our listeners and, you know, the things that you're producing educational-wise, that type of thing?
Well, I am working on my next book, which will be printed next year, and it's through a division of Hay House. So I'm excited for that for sure. But there's been a shift in the topic a little bit because of the current situation with pandemic and everything, because it's the topic is stress and stress management.
Yeah.
And because of this whole situation that we find ourselves in, stress has taken on a kind of a new term,
yes.
new way of, you know, it's really affected a lot of people.
Yes.
So I'm kind of rethinking it, but that is a major project that I am working on for next year. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, good for you.
And, you know, yeah. And overall, I really have a vision of bringing, and this isn't me alone. It can never be me alone. And that's kind of the point. I have a vision of a lot of us kind of aligning and bringing forward and moving forward the whole idea of nurturing our bodies and the gardening aspect of it, and not a mechanic perspective.
Yes.
But if we all just kind of move forward in this line and just keep educating, bringing awareness, shining the light on possibility, and really empowering people to see the changes that they personally can make, that to me, again, you know, talk about, wow, what a future that would be.
Yeah.
And it comes through not just me, it's all of us, you know, or a good majority anyway.
Yeah.
And just all moving forward with this belief, this steadfast belief, staying away from the fear and looking at what is possible and what you want, how you want to feel, And, you know, what are your own desires? Keep that energy up high.
Yeah.
And I do have this vision that I'm definitely a part of. And there's a lot of us. I'm in connection with a lot of other women who are on this same sort of mission that we're working together. And it's really exciting.
It's very exciting.
I see a huge shift in our world.
It's very exciting, and what a noble cause to be a part of. It's got a relaxed intensity about it that I really like. It's a very important thing. It's an important shift that I know that it's going to attract more and more people to. It's very, very positive.
It is. I really do feel it is. I think the shift has been happening for a couple of decades for sure.
Yeah.
And it may not be complete for, you know, several more.
Sure.
But we're all part of it.
Yes.
And it is definitely in motion, and it's good.
Yes. Absolutely true. Thank you so much. Promise me you'll do this again for Total Wellness Radio again in the future.
I'd love to come back and talk to you more. Of course. Whoops.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. No, that sounded like applause in the background. That was great.
Yeah, right?
Hey, before we get ready to wrap this up, I got just a couple of more questions. First off, you touched on this last point so appropriately about, you know, coming together, the connections, the moving forward. If there's one thing that you would like our listeners to hear, or a principle you'd like to share, or just a piece of encouragement, a word of encouragement as we get ready to wrap this up, what would that be?
Oh, to live by your values. To authentically be who you are. And if you're not always sure, because we are so indoctrinated into thinking what we're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
just take a few minutes to breathe and then have the courage to step into that clarity of just knowing who you are, that authenticity. These are what I would call the ABCs.
Okay.
The A is, you know, for authenticity. B is to keep breathing. And the C, it does take courage to say, no, I'm not going down that path. I'm going to take this path. And then, you know, ABCs ends with an S, sort of. So the last one is surrender. Because often we are trying to control what we cannot control.
Yes.
So we need to surrender to what is. It doesn't mean give up.
Right.
But accept the situation for what it is. And sure. Then go back to taking a deep breath and approaching it with courage and who you are from your authenticity. How is it best to respond?
Yes.
Instead of reacting mindlessly and in a stress way, you know, how is it best to respond?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wise words from a very experienced lady. Thank you so much, Deanne. What's the best way for our listeners to connect with you as we get ready to close this up?
They can go to my website at healthybyheart.com. And, or, you know, send me an email. Shoot me an email at coach@healthybyheart.com.
That's awesome. Thank you again so much, Deanne. I appreciate it. We'll do this again in the near future.
Thank you. I really appreciate being on here.
Yeah. All right. So for Deanne, we are going to say have a wonderful and blessed day. And thank you again for tuning into this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.